Lord, ask you now to bless as we look at your word. We thank you for the Phillips. What a joy and a blessing they've been to our lives. And what a joy that we know there's going to be a great reunion in heaven someday. My, what a time that's going to be. When we gather around the throne of Christ and praise you for all eternity. Oh, we look forward to that. Until then, Lord, help us to live for you and do what we ought to do. Now bless as we begin the study in Colossians again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Questions are part of our lives. You answer many, many questions every day, maybe even hundreds of questions. Now, some of those questions aren't really all that important. You know, what do you want to drink? Well, I guess that could be important if you choose the wrong thing. But that's not a lot of questions people ask us, they really don't care what we say. You ever notice that? Hey, how you doing? Well, they don't really care how you're doing. they're just being polite. They don't really expect an answer. In fact, they don't really want an answer. And if you stop and say, well, sit down, let me tell you, they'll be out of there. Some questions, though, are very, very, very important. Men, if your wife says to you, do you love me? Now, the way you answer that question is very important. It's very important. The most important questions, of course, are dealing with eternity. This week, Gene Collins called the church and had a man that he knew who was out mowing his lawn with a push mower and was going down a bank and lost control of the mower and it ran over his foot, cut off part of his foot. And I went to visit him on Wednesday, and after talking with him for a while and kind of getting to know him about where he worked and all those kind of things, his name is Carlos. Carlos Morales. By the way, he's on your bus route, 812 Hamilton. So that's something we need to pursue. He said, I said, Carlos, let me ask you, if that lawnmower, and of course it could have been much worse, if you had died, where would you be today? And he said, oh, I'd be in heaven. That's always a good thing to hear. And then I said, well, Carlos, how do you know that? And he said, well, you know, I believe when I die, my good works are going to outweigh my bad works, and I'll go to heaven. Now, you hear preachers talk about that, people saying that. He really said it. I mean, and praise the Lord, I was able to give him the gospel. And Carlos prayed there in the hospital and asked the Lord to save him. But questions are important. Now, the most serious question today are spiritual questions. And we're going to talk about a question today that is crucial. In fact, if you answer this question incorrectly, not only will your whole life be out of whack, but eternity will be lost in a place called hell. The question that we're going to look at this morning is, who is Christ? Who is Christ? Now, by the way, if you go out on the street, now, if I ask you folks that question, you all pretty do well. You've got a great teacher, you know, you have great knowledge, you know everything. You go out and ask the average guy out in the street, who is Christ? You're going to get all kinds of crazy answers. Now, as we know in the book of Colossians that we've been studying, there were some real problems in the city of Colossae in their understanding of who Christ was. And so Paul now, he's finished the introduction, he's finished the prayer, and he's going to begin to give us some great truths about who the person of Christ is. By the way, I was going to spend more time here, but I'm not going. Let me just take your attention to Matthew chapter 16 for a moment, because in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ came to his disciples, and what did he ask them? Who do men say that I am? And their answer was very interesting. They said, well, some people say you're Elijah. Hey, Lou, you snuck in on me. Good to see you, buddy. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're another prophet. Some say you're Elijah. You know, by the way, the same thing is true today. If you ask people, who is Christ, what are some answers you may get? He's a good man. Was he a good man? Yes, but that's certainly not all. What else? Oh, he was a good example. He was a religious teacher. He was a God. He was born just like us. He is our brother, and he became a God. a lot of things out there you can hear. None of these things admit his uniqueness. But the Lord didn't stop there. He said, all right, that's what they say. What do you say? Whom do you say that I am? And how did Peter respond? Oh, thou art the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. Now look, if you have a wrong view of Christ, you will never get to heaven. We're in the Bible Belt, and there are a lot of people that think that Christ is God and that he died, but you know, you got to trust Christ and say, and if you add anything to it, you don't have it. See, you believe that Christ was a good man, you'll never go to heaven. If that's all you believe. If you believe he was just a good teacher, you'll miss heaven. If you believe that he was just a human miracle worker, you're going to miss heaven. Now, we could go on and on and on. If you think that he was a God, but not Jehovah, there's a church just around the corner from my house that believes that, you'll not go to heaven. Now, in Colossians, if you can remember, I tell you what. Let's do this real quickly. You guys in the front row, jump up here and help me real quickly. Yeah, that's move. Yeah, come on. It's not going to hurt. I'm sorry, God, man. I'm sorry, I wasn't specific. You are a man. You can. I won't embarrass women, just guys. All right. If you remember, now this is good news here because you're God today.
Okay.
So you're all right. If you remember the Gnostic teaching in the book of Colossians, and I want to remind those of you that have been with us for a while and those that are new, I want you to see this real quickly. The Gnostics believed that God was holy, God was perfect. They believed that matter was terrible and wicked. Now, if God is perfect and holy, he can't create wickedness. And so what God did, this is hard to believe. He created angels. And you owe me big time now. And as he worked his way down, he created this angel, and this angel had some of the power of God and had some of the holiness of God and some of the goodness of God, but he was not God. And then he created other angels, and as we went along, as you can tell, they got worse and worse and worse until we get down to what some might call a demon. And the demon still had some of God's power, and he was able to create the world because the world is evil. Now, stop and think for a moment how this affects your doctrine of Christ. All right? Now, these are all angels. I suppose they thought that Christ was one of these angels. But if we even move one step from God and were to say, boy, this is really hard, that this is Christ, is he God? This is not hard, folks, because God's over here and this is Christ here. Okay? No. Can't be. Now, because of this, they had all kinds of law keeping, trying to make themselves pleasing to God. They did not believe that God created the world. That's not possible. If Christ is not God, is he perfect? If he's not perfect, can he die for your sins? Do you see the problems, folks? I mean, we have some real issues here if we believe these emanations, is what they called them, were not God, but they came from God. They were created by God. Now, this is what... Thank you, man. You may sit down. That wasn't too painful, was it? This is what the Gnostics were teaching. This is these are the things that Paul was dealing with, and because of that, they denied the deity of Christ. They denied the humanity of Christ. Christ can't be evil. That can't happen. They worshiped angels. They even had a series of religion where you believe Christ, but you got to add something to it. Christ plus something. You had to have special knowledge. Now, in the book of Colossians, Paul is about to address these problems, and he's going to give us some great truths about who Christ is, who Jesus is. Look in verse 15. And we'll just cover the first one, I think, and be done. Now, to understand the antecedent, who is referring to, let's go back to verse 13. Who delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, now who is whom? that's Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God. Who is who referring to? Well, that's hard to say. Jesus Christ, all right? So Jesus Christ, it says, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, what do you know about God? Has anyone ever seen God? Why not? Because God is, he's a spirit. Can you see? There you go. I heard it from somebody. Was that you, Bennett? Or David? Very good. I'll give you credit where credit is due. He is invisible. You can't see God. God is a spirit. You can't see spirit. So we cannot see God. In John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He has no physical body. In fact, in John 1:18 says, no man hath seen God at any time. In 1 Timothy 6:16 it says, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, which no man hath seen nor can see. So we cannot see God. However, Jesus Christ is in the image of the invisible God. Now you say, what's talk about image? All right. In the Greek time, the classical Greek, it was talking about a stamp or a die, not die as in color, but as a die that you would use, you would hit, that would put a mark on something. In fact, it's used in Matthew 22, I won't have you turn there, where the Lord is got to, they bring a coin to him, remember? And he said, whose inscription or subscription on the coin? The image there, it's the same word, was of Caesar, of course, was his picture, and that's the word here. In Revelation 8 times it refers to the image that was made of the beast. So this is a stamp. If you here at the church, we have different stamps. If you give us a check for your tithe, they'll put on their deposit to the Order of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and they stamp everybody. And you know what's amazing? Every time they stamp it, it's the same if they do it right. And because it's a stamp. So it's an identical thing. It looks like it. So it says, look, Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Now let's stop for a minute and think. What does that mean? What does it mean when he says that Jesus Christ is the image of God? Now, stop for a moment. This same phrase is used in Genesis chapter 1 to describe someone else. Can you give me the context? What's it talking about? When he created man, he created him in his own image. Is our creation in God's image the same as Christ's creation or Christ being in God's image? You said it's Sunday. I'm not supposed to have to think. were we created identical to God? No, obviously not. We were made in the image of God, and that we think that probably refers to our tripart being, body, soul, and spirit. Nothing else has those three except us. So obviously that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is the fact that Jesus Christ was an exact replica of God. I know we're talking some doctrinal things this morning, but folks, it is crucial that we understand who Christ is. Now, for the Gnostics, see, they didn't believe that Christ was the same as God. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus Christ is the same as Jehovah. The Mormons do not believe that Jesus Christ is the God. He is a God. See? This is crucial stuff. Now, it's interesting in Colossians 1:19, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It's not just an outline, not just a sketch. He is God. Okay? Now, hold your place there and turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Now, again, it's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and look in verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, notice, and the express image of his person. That image word is the Greek word morphe. Some of your kids, was it the Power Rangers or something? They morph into something or strange stuff. Yeah, Willie watches it every week. He knows. He's up on that stuff. So you may know that word morph from that. But it's the same shape. It's changing the shape. And he said, look, Jesus Christ is the same as God. In fact, in Philippians, it says that he, let me think of the words, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. He didn't grasp onto that. He laid aside, he was emptied of some of his glory when he came to this world. Okay? But it's important to realize that Jesus Christ is God. He is God. Now, if he is not, then we're in big trouble. If Jesus Christ is not God, then there is no salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can't have it. In fact, he was so much God that when he was talking to his disciples, he said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Say. Now, if there was a way I could do it, I would have David come back up, and he's glad I can't do this, but if I could find someone that was identical to David, and he has a son, but his son is big, and even his son's not identical to him, and I had him stand right behind him, or actually if I could get him to stand in him, we would have a great illustration of it. They are identical. Jesus Christ is God. Now, the next statement, which I'm not going to have time to look at, but he is the firstborn of every creature. If you want some homework for next week, if you want to study some, actually for 2 weeks, next week we're going to have a special lesson. Brother Stover's going to be teaching all the men. I shouldn't have said that. Now we'll have 500 here, Larry. They'll all come to hear you. It'll be great. And there you go. Now, by the way, what is one of the things the devil's trying to do today? Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is one of the devil's chief attacks? What's he trying to do? He's trying to get people to believe a lie about Jesus Christ. That's his work. That's what he's doing today. And he is unfortunately succeeding in many places. Now, let me encourage you this week. Be thankful that Jesus Christ is God. He is God. He is not a God. He is not a little G-O-D. He is the capital G, capital O, capital D. He is God. And yet, now think about this. And yet that God, Jesus Christ, left heaven, laid aside some of his glory, took on himself a human form, suffered unbearably for you, and died for you. But because he was God, on the third day, he rose from the grave. Jesus Christ is God. And he's the firstborn of every creature. I'll give you 2 weeks. 2 weeks to figure out what that means. All right? And we'll continue to study who Christ is. Lord, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you, Lord, that you, Jesus Christ, was God. He is God. We don't understand all that. We can't explain all that. But we accept it by faith. Lord, we thank you for Dot and Chester Phillips. We thank you that Dr. Phillips believed rightly that Jesus Christ was God. And he spent his life giving the message. And Lord, because of what you did on Calvary, we thank you we'll have a reunion with him someday. And Lord, continue to comfort Dot, continue to minister to her and the family. And Lord, for other folks who've lost loved ones here and folks going through trials, may you encourage their hearts with the great truths from your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.